You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
In 2002, as part of massive cuts to public services, the British Columbia government dramatically cut legal aid coverage in BC. Family law legal aid and poverty law services, in particular, were substantially reduced or eliminated. The budget for legal aid was slashed by almost 40% over 3 years. Since then, two major reports have recommended increases to legal aid funding. However, provincial funding levels remain unchanged. West Coast Leaf is an organization that has a long history of advocacy and involvement in access to justice issues, such as legal aid. They have repeatedly called on the government to increase legal aid funding. Kasari Govender is a lawyer and the executive director of West Coast Leaf, and she joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Kasari.
Hello, thanks for having me on the show.
Now, a 2011 report by the Public Commission on Legal Aid called legal aid an essential public service in our society, as essential as education, healthcare, and social assistance. Now, I think we know, probably most people know what all those things are, education, healthcare, and social assistance. What is legal aid exactly?
Legal aid essentially means free legal services that are funded by the state. But breaking that down a little bit, it's administered by something called the Legal Services Society, which is an independent organization, arm's length from government, but funded by government. And they offer legal advice. So that's where, without going to court, just trying to provide you with some guidance if you have a legal problem. They provide legal representation. They actually provide what's called a certificate program, which is that they fund lawyers in the private system to provide legal representation. And then they also provide legal information. So they do pamphlets and booklets about what your rights and your responsibilities under the law are.
And it's designed for people who can't afford legal services.
That's right. So it's right now the income cutoff is very low. So it's for people who are really have extremely low incomes and would never be able to afford a lawyer. There is a huge chunk of society that are not covered by legal aid services, but also wouldn't be able to afford a lawyer. But unfortunately, with the way funding is, it only covers that strata of folks who have extremely low incomes. And then it's also restricted by subject matter. So it doesn't cover poverty law services at all anymore, for example, and it provides only very restricted family law services.
And now I want to get into those two very important areas in a moment. But first of all, in general, why is legal aid so important?
I think that if you think anybody in Canadian society reflects upon what makes us a healthy society, one of the pillars of that would be our justice system, that we have a fair, accessible justice system. And in fact, I think the crisis in legal aid really reveals the fallacy in that assumption, that in fact, what the lack of legal aid means is that we don't have a fair, accessible justice system. And if you translated that to, for example, a healthcare system, which might be another thing that Canadians would define ourselves by, if you can imagine that you had to pay if you needed heart surgery, and that if you couldn't pay, you didn't get heart surgery, that would be fundamentally wrong to most Canadians. And yet, if you need to retain custody of your kids and you can't afford to have the expert that you need there to facilitate access to the justice system, you're on your own. You're doing that heart surgery by yourself. You are defending your right to your children by yourself.
Now, let's look at those two examples you gave. Let's look, first of all, at poverty law, mm-hmm. Which was dramatically reduced with funding cuts. What kind of thing is poverty law?
Poverty law includes things like housing, tenancy rights, debt and social assistance, access to social assistance, appeals from disability applications that may have been turned down, city and pension plan applications, that kind of realm of things. So people trying to get access to services, a lot of it, and issues around social assistance and tenancy and basic income issues.
Now, I understand that the province supports legal advocates, for example, the residential tenancy branch. Can they go into court and help people?
You know, anybody can go into court to help somebody, and there are an incredible network of also, they are somewhat lacking funding, but there is an incredible network of advocates in this province who have done their best to pick up the slack. Unfortunately, if you don't have legal training is there to provide the tools to be able to negotiate the justice system. And the justice system really is accessible for those who have that expertise to back them up. So while advocates are an incredible assistance, advocates themselves say, look, we're doing our job and we need lawyers to be able to do their jobs.
Now, I think probably, you know, a lot of people have an impression that they know what to say in a courtroom because they watch courtroom dramas, but it's an incredibly complex thing to do, is to go into a court and represent yourself.
It is, absolutely. It's incredibly complex and technical, and all kinds of requirements that you may not know intuitively. In fact, you likely don't know intuitively, but might act to bar your claim. So, for example, there might be filing requirements. We've heard stories from women who didn't know they had to sign their affidavits in a certain way and had their affidavit thrown out and, as a result, lost custody of their children, at least temporarily. I can tell you that there's all kinds of complex rules of evidence, what you can ask somebody on the stand if you're trying to cross-examine someone. So there's all those kinds of rules, but there's also the emotional import of doing that yourself. So imagine for a moment that you are going through a divorce. Imagine that there's violence in your relationship, but you exceed the financial guidelines of the Legal Services Society's requirements to get legal aid. So you're there defending, arguing for yourself, and you have to cross-examine your abusive spouse on the stand in front of a judge. So there's not only the technical requirements, but there's the incredible emotional import of what you might be going through in a family law case, for example, and having to then try to detach yourself from that and act like a lawyer would in that circumstance. It's unimaginable for most of us.
And that's the other area that was significantly cut, was family law. So what kinds of situations are we looking at within family law?
So family law, there are still some extreme cases that are funded. So, for example, where there's violence in the relationship, not that that's an extreme circumstance, but where women are in danger. And there's a few other explicit kind of exceptions to the cutoffs, but it's also restricted financially. So if you don't qualify financially, even if you have violence in your relationship, you're not able to get legal aid. So what kind of situations are covered by that? Well, often women who are losing custody of their children gain if they had violence in their relationship and if their income is low enough. And by income being low enough, here I'm talking about the financial guidelines will cut you off if you're working full-time on minimum wage. You could be cut off. You could be over the amount that you could make for legal aid. And you can imagine if you're making $10 an hour, you may well still not be able to afford a lawyer.
You were talking about the violence provision that women can get legal aid if they don't earn what's called too much money. Are there other problems related to seeing violence as a kind of a factor that can get you legal aid?
Yeah, I mean, it's problematic. Women have to, first of all, disclose that to somebody who isn't necessarily there to support them in any way. They're disclosing intimate details of their lives and their relationships to an intake worker at LSS. So there's some problems associated with that. There's also having to prove that is what you experienced. So if you cannot prove that, if you don't have a restraining order or you've made a police complaint or so on, that can be hard to prove. So there's problems around proof, and there's also problems about how we define violence. So it's now become clearer under the new family law legislation that was introduced earlier this year that what we mean by violence is broad and can include psychological violence. But it's a difficult task for an intake worker to assess what qualifies as violence and did this really happen in this relationship. And you can imagine that's an analysis that is quite fraught.
Now, West Coast Leaf has been tracking the impacts of the legal aid cuts to women and to people living in poverty. What kind of general trends have you found?
Even having worked in this area for years now, I am continually shocked by how many women we have calling us about to lose their kids or having lost their kids because they couldn't get access to a lawyer. And we're not a frontline organization. So women are really calling us as a last resort, having read something, you know, we did in the media or one of our reports on our website and saying, okay, you guys care about this issue. Let me talk to you. So you can only imagine that the frontline organizations, the ones that put themselves out there as, you know, we can provide some services to you, the kinds of calls and overwhelming numbers of women that are coming to them to say, I can't negotiate this system by myself, and I'm losing, you know, my family, and I'm not able to fight this battle. And it's quite an incredible, shocking reality of the world that we live in right now, that's being so ignored in the political realm, the depth of the problems in the justice system.
You're calling for a kind of a system called a rights-based legal aid system. Can you explain what that would look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's partly related to the issue you mentioned at the beginning of the interview around legal aid being considered an essential service. The idea behind a rights-based legal aid approach is, on the theoretical side, or the sort of philosophical side, I should say, is really that we have a right to access the justice system, that should be considered a human right. And then what that practically means is being able to get legal services for things that infringe our human dignity. So if you cannot afford a lawyer for an issue such as being evicted from your home, that you should be able to get state-funded counsel for that. If you can't afford a lawyer when you're about to lose your children or are involved in a custody battle, then you should be able to get a lawyer for that. So it's looking at it through the lens of human dignity, which is really connected to what we mean by human rights in the law.
Now, you have a campaign for legal aid reform. What are you trying to do? What's the kind of point that you're at right now with that campaign?
Well, there are organizations working across the province in what we call the Coalition for Public Legal Services. And there's so many organizations that care deeply about these issues and work with people who are profoundly affected by these old cuts. Where we're at now is continuing to push. I mean, every time we meet with an attorney general or an official in a decision-making capacity, we push for these changes. I think what's really interesting is just this week there was a development because LSS, Legal Services Society, just announced that while they may have, they're expecting a substantial deficit this year, and they are required to balance their books. And they're required by law to balance their books. And what they are proposing, one possible way that they may deal with this is, from what I understand, is to just stop providing representation and services for the last month and a half of their fiscal year. So basically stop paying out their certificates, which is when they pay private lawyers for services, and they just wouldn't provide representation in criminal law and child protection law. This was quite shocking news to me when I read it yesterday, and it will be very interesting to see how the Attorney General reacts to this. The statement was made publicly by LSS, and they are in negotiations with the Attorney General now, apparently, around their funding structure. Whether the government will step in to fill that void remains to be seen.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me this morning, Kasari, and I'll refer people to your website to find out more information.
Great. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Kasari Govender. She's a lawyer and the executive director of West Coast Leaf, a Vancouver-based organization using the law to further women's equality. You can find out more about West Coast Leaf and their campaign for legal aid reform on their website, and that is westcoastleaf.org.